Welcome to Conversations on the Back Porch, a podcast with Dr. Jane Vella. Jane is a noted academic and practitioner of adult learning who has written several books on how to design and teach learning events effectively, including Learning to Listen, Learning to Teach, The Power of Dialogue in Educating Adults. She is also the founder of Global Learning Partners, a company that provides workshops on this dialogue education approach to instructional design and learning facilitation. My name is Dwayne Hodgson. I'm the Programs Director for Global Learning Partners. You can find us on the web at globallearning.com. Today I'll be joining Jane via Skype in her back porch in Raleigh, North Carolina to discuss conducting a Learning Needs and Resources Assessment, or as we say, an LNRA. Good afternoon, Jane.
Hello, Dwayne. I'm glad to be with you.
So we'd like to talk about something we referred to in some of the other podcasts, and that's the practice of conducting Learning Needs and Resources Assessment, or the LNRA for short. Or as it often comes across, if I say it too quickly, this person called Eleanor Ray. So just who is this Eleanor Ray person anyhow? Why do you talk about her so much?
She's a very important part of this whole process. One thing we've said frequently, all of us doing this, is that the learning needs and resources assessment is a way to begin the dialogue before a course or a workshop or a class begins. And I've been thinking about this prior to doing this podcast, Dwayne, and I've thought of four C's that might be helpful. So let's consider how Eleanor Ray, our darling, helps us with practicing these four pieces. One is communication with the learner. I love to tell the story about my work as a professor at University of North Carolina School of Public Health. And I would always get the list of people registered and telephone the graduate students before the course began. And I'd say, I'm Jane Vella, I'm going to be teaching this course. Could you give me 5 minutes so we could chat a bit before we meet? And there was always a dead silence because this had not happened to them before. This was a strange thing. This communication with a professor prior to the course was something new and somewhat frightening, I think, to them. But I believe that that communication can only help their learning. So communication is the first C. The second C, I think, is context. We as teachers need really to know the context of the learners. And they as learners may sometimes not be aware how operative that context is in their learning. Whatever they're learning, we hope, will be useful, immediately useful, and relevant to that context. But we have to know that context. And learning that context is part of what dear Eleanor Ray, the Learning Needs and Resources Assessment, helps us with. Because sometimes we assume we know the context and we really don't. What do you think about that one, Dwayne? Or the whole issue of getting to know their context?
I think it's really important when you're considering how they're going to transfer what they're learning in this workshop or seminar to their work.
Right.
We want to get a sense of what the challenges that they are encountering and also what's going well, because no point spending a lot of time on things that they already know or are confident.
Precisely.
In focus.
Right, yes.
Other times you learn in the context that there's a whole other set of ideas or conflicts or problems that are going on in the community, in the organization, that you need to be aware
of. Oh, that is so helpful because it really prevents us stepping on landmines that we could have learned about by doing a learning needs and resources assessment. The third piece that I think of is the curriculum. I always send in the learning needs and resources assessment the course outline. Usually, if you have listened to the podcast about the seven design steps, it would be those steps. And it would be especially the content, the what, and the what for, the achievement-based objectives of the seven design steps. So people see what it is they're going to be dealing with. And Valerie, again, in this Learning Needs and Resources Assessment in Baltimore, gave this to folks who were coming and said, which of these do you see is most relevant to the context that you're in, that you just described to us? And that is very useful. People can see what you're going to offer. They can also be asked, what's not on here that you thought would be in the course? Remember, in the needs assessment, the LNRA, people are giving you suggestions. They're giving you information about their context. They're communicating with you. They're telling you about priorities they see in the course outline that you present. But they're not making decisions. It's up to you to make the decision. What they offer to you are suggestions that you might use to change the course. So the curriculum, the whole sense of the curriculum. And then the fourth C that I mentioned are concerns. What are people's concerns about the course? And for this, I'd like to tell a story. A long time ago, in my former age, I was leading these courses in another state, and I had a woman come into the course, and I did not ask the question, what are your concerns about the course? During the course, I discovered that this woman, an older woman, was in the midst of a very painful divorce. If I had known that, if she had said, well, you know, this is going on and I may have to leave, I may not be able to attend fully because of this event in my family, that would have been very helpful because her behavior was such that I was confused. And I would not have had to be confused if I had asked her the question, and again, of course, if she had responded, that she was concerned about this event going on in her life at the time of this course. So we're looking at four C's. We want to communicate with people. We want to examine their context and how this curriculum, the third C, fits into and will serve that context. And then finally, concerns that they may have about the course, about its relevance, and about their life in general at the time of the course.
One of the things you refer to in your books, Jane, is around what generates energy for people. I've used that even to weave in the theme to the design of the workshop. For example, I was working with groups from Africa, Asia, and I was on the very last day doing a wrap-up session. From what I was learning in my learning needs and resources assessment, these people were halfway home.
Yes,
they miss their culture.
Yes.
So I thought, well, rather than trying to fight that, let's just make that a theme. And I use all sorts of different images of travel in the graphics that I included. I did a warm-up exercise asking them, what the best way that you have to get through customs and security at the airport quickly? And of course, they all had some very interesting and devious ideas. And that kind of brings me to the next question I was thinking of, Jane, here around the learning needs and resources assessment. Some of what we described before is, I mean, it's fairly standard practice. People do a learning needs assessment. But why do you say so specifically learning needs and resources
assessment? Well, because very often dialogue education at this point is used with adults in adult learning. Adults bring terrific resources of experience, resources within the content arena. They may know a great deal about what you're teaching them. Valerie Uccellani just sent me a learning needs and resources assessment she had used in a course in Baltimore, and she asked people to send a design of a recent course that they had done. It was very helpful to see how they were going about designing. It helps us to see what folks already know, have skills and capabilities with, and where they could use some new information, new skills, and where we might offer value added. We want to know that because those resources are then available to the other learners in the group. So that when you're starting, you know that Marianne over here has already designed a major training course for the United Nations in cross-cultural And so other people in the room say, oh, wow, that's someone I want to talk with. There's a resource for me. I want to repeat a phrase that I've been thinking about a lot and using often. The dialogue in dialogue education is not a dialogue between teacher and the learners. It's a dialogue among learners, of whom the teacher is one. And that's tough. That's accepting that we too have something to learn from this group. That's a big shift. And yet, I believe it's necessary. And so what we're doing, you know, we have a new C, Dwayne. What we're doing when we ask for resources is that we are beginning or continuing to build the community of learners. Our deepest purpose in using dialogue education and going to all the trouble that you have to go to prepare a course is not only to offer information or to give people practice in new skills, but to do that in a community of learners and to maintain that community of learners as resources to one another in future. And I feel this is a very deep purpose, and it may be the meta purpose of dialogue education. It may be the overlying purpose. One thing we have often said is that when you do an LNRA, there are three ways you can certainly asking them to respond to a set of questions that examine the context and invite their response to the curriculum. You can also study. If you know you have three people from a particular organization, go to that organization's website. Find out what that organization is doing right today. What are their current projects? What is their mission? There's a great deal of study, and today's study is a click away. And the third piece is observe. You can observe their behavior in the class. Sometimes people will show you their generative themes on day one by the way they speak passionately about an issue.
What do you do in a situation where it's just impossible to conduct any kind of learning needs and resources assessment before the event? And this is common in a conference, for example. I'm one of several concurrent sessions. I don't know who's coming.
That's right.
I arrive in the room. I have 20 people right there. No Eleanor Ray. What do I do?
Well, Dwayne, that occurs so frequently. And here's what I have done in the past that really addresses this. I bring Eleanor Ray into the first learning task. And she just is stunning. She does her job. That is, in the first learning task, the warm-up, after you have set your purpose for your time with these people, you invite them to tell about their context. You invite them to communicate with one another and with you. You invite them to look at the curriculum for the session. You invite them to name their concerns. And guess what? As they're doing that in the first session, they're building community. And even in some of these conferences where, you know, you travel 4,000 miles sometimes and have an hour or an hour and a half with a group of adults, if you haven't done a pre-course LNRA, I would suggest that the first learning task is designed as an LNRA. What do you think of that, Duff?
It seems a good way to fast-track that research.
That's right.
Or catch up a
That's
little
right.
bit. Rather than launching in, well, here's my content, here's my ideas, when you don't have a sense of what people are looking for.
Yes, exactly. So I have made a design before I get to this conference, to this session. I hope that I've read it enough through study, a sense of who these people are, that I've been intuitive enough to be on target. If I'm not, if I am off, I may have to make an amendment to my design as a result of the information and the responses I get to the first learning task, which is the LNRA. In this case, you have your design, you get your information, and as we say, the LNRA informs the design. It does not form the design. It's very important. What people say about their context, what they say about their hopes for the course, very much informs your design. But it doesn't form it. There's content that, at this point, we say this has to be taught. This has to be learned. But what has to be learned can be informed by new information. And again, it sets up a pattern of dialogue, which I must say, I have never seen people refuse, because it's very refreshing. when people find their voice and realize that they're being listened to, they just begin to shine. They sit up taller. They get excited. There's new energy. So our generative theme in all of this is dialogue. Begin the dialogue before you begin teaching the course.
Well, Jane, I think we'll wrap up for the day and just invite the listeners to find the other podcasts that Jane has worked on at www.globallearning.com/podcast.htm. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. It's been a delight, as usual.